This podcast is for people who are ready to heal body, mind, and spirit and are willing to take full responsibility for what that involves. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. This podcast contains adult language and themes that are not suitable for young children or those who are easily offended or triggered. The views discussed in this podcast are my own, based on personal experience and of those I have known and worked with for my entire adult life. This show is not meant to take the place of sound medical or mental health advice. You, and only you, are responsible for the choices you make based on the information you hear on this show. Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started. Welcome to episode 8. Today's topic is grow up. Quit draining your energy, expect more from yourself, and stop the drama, mama. This episode was originally inspired by four separate occasions in which four different individuals asked me for advice as to why they were not getting better on their healing journey and had, in fact, pretty much stalled out. Except for the first one, grow up, the other three were reflective of what I had had to personally overcome when I got stuck on my own healing expedition. Every single one of you on the personal transformation path will at one time or another need that proverbial kick in the ass in order to shake up the inertia that often develops during one's experience. Anyone who has done deeply alchemical personal transformation work or is smack dab in it right now knows that it is the hardest work you'll ever do, and that there are many emotional diversions and pity pots you can fall into that prevent you from powering forward. And I get that. I really, truly get that. I know what it feels like to lie on the floor at 2 a.m. and stare at the ceiling and want to give up or quit altogether because it's just too much or too gut-wrenching or too exhausting or too fill-in-the-blank. Been there and cursed the ceiling so many times. However, you can lie on that floor for just so long before you have to drag your sorry ass back up and stand up once again on your own two tired feet and continue your path forward. It is so not easy, but it is so worth it when you begin to see how all of that work is paying off for you and how you have changed on levels you never thought were possible when you started. Some of you may be highly offended by what I say today. Some of you may turn off the show. But if you are someone who is truly committed to altering your life in such a way that you eventually emerge as a stronger, more resilient, and certainly more contained and mature individual, you have to grow up. You have to quit draining your energy. You certainly must expect more from yourself. And you have to stop the drama, mama. So without further ado, let's start with number one, grow up. Do you really want to heal? Do you really want to be transformed on all levels, physical, mental, and emotional? If so, then you have to grow up. I don't care how old you are, you have to grow up. This is not a game you're playing anymore. You just bought a one-way ticket on the road less traveled. Alchemical healing transformation is not the easy-peasy path. It's often an unforgiving, circuitous trek across a weedy thicket where there are no clearly written signs to direct you. This type of deep personal transformation work requires maturity on all levels if you have any chance of succeeding. You must quit with the arrested development. The Peter Pan proclivity is tedious and will take you nowhere on your journey of self-discovery and enlightenment, and your ungroundedness makes you difficult to be around and impossible to help. True enlightenment is dirty business, and your childlike nature will sabotage it at every turn. Grow up. Perpetual adolescence is a detriment to long-term satisfaction, especially when you're trying to heal. Stop blaming other people for your piss-poor lack of initiative. Admit when you're wrong and apologize immediately. Don't be a sore loser. Congratulate the winner. Stop seeing everything as a challenge instead of an opportunity. When you fail, deal with it. You're going to fail a lot more than you'll succeed. Get used to it. You will have setbacks and self-sabotaging excursions. Learn from them. Try again and again and again and again and grow up. Stop leveraging victimhood like a day trader on crack. Stop experiencing a lesson and perceiving it like an attack. Stop weaponizing your illness like a child uses an illness to get out of taking a test. Accept that there will be lots of tests and that avoiding them or pretending you can bypass them to gain enlightenment reveals a stunning lack of accountability and an equally staggering lack of self-awareness, two things you claim you're after. Children do whatever they can to postpone or avoid pain altogether. They hide, they fragment, they evade, they ignore. None of those reactions are going to help you heal, so you have to abandon your childlike evasion tactics and face the monsters head on, and you have no choice but to do it afraid. You can shake like a leaf, but you have to always do the thing that takes you out of your comfort zone. You have to agree to be uncomfortable, and you have to agree that within that uncomfortable place, you will choose to not resist whatever arises and address it straight on. It can scare the absolute shit out of you, but you still do it. You still follow through and keep your word, always. There is no such thing as a safe space, so I suggest you stop looking for it. Life inherently is not safe, period. Life has never been safe, and it never will be safe. It's baked into the cake of the construct called life. As the philosopher said, shit happens. Accept it, work with it, build a bridge, and get over it. Enlightenment, empowerment, and ruthless transformational healing involves risk on all levels. There are no safe places on this journey. You'll be lucky to find an occasional rest stop. Life is not an eternal playground, and when you fall off the jungle gym of life when doing alchemical healing, it's going to leave a mark. You better stop being naive. Children are naive, and you are no longer a child. Grow up. Not everyone is your friend in this healing world. Not everyone wants what is best for you. That's a shock, I realize. But it's time to grow up. Accept or bear the consequences of that dangerous ignorance. Maintaining willful naivete and ignorance is a massive liability when you are engaging in transformational healing work, where you can be placed in vulnerable positions with extremely controlling people. There are a lot of vipers in the alternative healing field, and you better be aware of it and accept that while you may fall for a few side trips of worthless treatments or pointless workshops, don't make it a habit and get drawn into energy-draining rabbit holes. Carefully pick and choose what and who to be fascinated with, because there are a lot of things that can draw you in and waste your time. Children are mesmerized by everything that sparkles or makes a cool sound. A dripping faucet can draw them in, but staring at it for hours is a waste of water. Don't waste a drop of water in your quest toward your own resurrection and grow up. Weakness will never be your friend. Kick weakness to the curb. Weakness due to feeling helpless will produce more weakness and more helplessness until you end up in a fetal position crying for mommy. Others who enable your weakness are complicit with your emotional demise. Don't allow that to happen. There is a time for tenderness, but too much tenderness when brute strength is required of you is a wet blanket that chills any progress being made. I'm sorry to break it to you, but nobody gives a shit about your feelings. Feelings are nebulous. Feelings change. During your healing journey, your feelings can be easily exploited by others to gain power over you. Knowledge. There's your key. Knowledge is power. Learn from experience. Learn from observation. Don't expect your healing experience to be exactly like someone else's experience. Don't expect what works for you will work for others. Stop injecting infantile talk into your dialogue, littering your vocabulary with silly words to express powerful experiences makes you look childish, and this work is not for children. Trash the word adulting from your vocabulary, and while you're standing at the dumpster of dopey words and phrases, toss my bad and my happy place into the trash heap as well. Stop using the baby voice tenor to get people to feel sorry for you. Cut the whining, terminate the tantrums, quit pouting, stop being offended, stop rolling your eyes at people, cease the incessant chatter of only your needs being voiced and met, stop expecting people to give you hours of undivided attention without one acknowledgement toward what is happening in their life. Listen more and learn to reflect. Think before you speak. Don't believe everything you think. Sit back and observe so you can take in the whole scene. Stop reacting to every damn thing as if your very life depended on it. Grow up. Be on time. Don't make people wait for you just because you're depressed or engaging in self-loathing. Don't waste people's time. Get to the point. Talk is cheap. Actions always speak louder than words, so act wisely. Stop believing that just showing up is enough, and when you show up, stop expecting people to greet you like the second coming of Christ. Stop expecting adulation or a good job for doing the things you are supposed to do. You can always be better, a hell of a lot better. You are not the center of attention just because you were sick. Your illness doesn't give you a lifelong free pass to be in the spotlight. Cut out the relentless self-absorption. You're not as interesting as you think you are. Not yet. There is a lot you still have to learn. There's a lot you still haven't experienced and had a chance to integrate. Don't expect others to always be there to help you. Self-sufficiency should be one of your primary goals. Self-containment is what you're striving for. To achieve this, create something. Build something, whether it's building inner strength within you or building something outside your view. Wishing won't make it so, and tossing coins into a fountain is just throwing money into the groundskeeper's pocket. Motivation, action, hard work, diligence, persistence, dedication. Toss those into your fountain. That's what you need to throw yourself into if you want to succeed and grow up. Practice patience. Oh, you're going to need a lot of it. Calm your ass down. Everyone else is not on your timetable. Other people don't have to speed it up to accommodate your nebulous schedule. Stop pretending your needs are more important than anyone else's. Yes, you are sick. Yes, you have needs. However, your illness does not give you permission to force other people to always put their needs last. Get away from the relentless, often self-indulgent, myopic, circular thinking and barracuda-like aggression tactics. Tame your impulsiveness. Children are impulsive. You are not a child. Grow up. Rest when you need to, but never fall into a sinking complacency. Don't wait for someone else to tell you what to do. Look around, see what needs to get done in your life, and do it. Be an active participant in your health, recovery, and your life. But don't wear it like a crown or seek adulation or sympathy for it. You are not supposed to be the billboard of your own illness or life event, advertising it 24/7. You and what you are experiencing is not for public consumption. Your healing journey is not for sale. Don't exploit your illness for attention or expect a credit for accrued suffering. In fact, only share what you are going through with those you feel you can trust. And that won't be a big circle, I guarantee you. Keep it close to yourself. Never pimp out your sanctified spiritual death and rebirth. That's like insulting the angels. This is sacred work, and it shouldn't be scattered into the wind for anyone who needs to degrade it. If you advertise your soul's journey, always draped against the golden light so you can effortlessly blur out the wear and tear on your psyche, and sell your sacrosanct work for a cheap like or red heart emoji while you talk about trendy habits such as microdosing and trips to Costa Rica to drink that rough brew, all you're doing is engaging in personal transformation porn where you give others a step-by-step guide on how to pump up the ego and portray your own resurrection. That's not a good example to model to others who are going through this same work and who are often deeply struggling and feeling very alone. because they aren't sitting under the palm trees, seen in the photo with everyone looking so enlightened. They are fighting off the dark memories that are bubbling to the surface of their fragile mind, memories they thought they'd forgotten, and they are doing it wrapped in a damp towel, huddled in the corner of their bathroom. When you romanticize this healing process, you are mischaracterizing the truth about what is required to go through in order to obtain a crumb of awareness or that elusive thing called enlightenment. These are the cards you've been dealt. This is the bus that showed up. This is the dish you've been served, and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is stop screwing around with your health and not agreeing to do the hard work time. Yes, it's hard. That's why they call it hard work. You cannot fake your way to better health and mental well-being, no matter how much you spend on it or play at it. All your answers lie within. Life is tough for everyone. Finish what you start. Clean up after yourself. Stop drinking from a sippy cup of complacency. Take out your pacifier of protection. Crawl out of your crib of safety and stop wearing your jammies to the market. Quit expecting other people to fight your battles or come to your rescue. Nobody is coming to save you. You are the one you've been waiting for, so you need to show up every single time. This is not a game any longer. This is your life. You are a grown-ass adult, and you have a big job to do. You will never fully heal and have a chance in hell at becoming whole again unless you grow up. For fuck's sake, grow up. Number two, do you really want to heal? Then you better quit draining your precious energy. I want you to visualize a wooden bucket. That bucket represents the container that holds your intrinsic energy. It's the energy you need to heal, to regenerate, to communicate effectively, to enjoy life, and anything you are required to generate in order to move through your day. When you are sick or under long-term stress, that bucket begins to leak energy as the stress wears away at its sides and base. If you have a full-blown, massive shock or are dealing with a chronic disease, your bucket has formed holes and leaks all around it. No matter how much good food or good supplements you take in, you are not making any substantial progress because it all drains out of you, and you just can't drink from an empty cup, nor will you get full from an empty plate. The holes in the bucket have to be mended by you by protecting one of your most valuable resources, and that is your vital energy reserves. You have to start to get really picky in the beginning stages of your healing journey as to what you choose to commit to and how much you scatter your energy, because too much scattered energy will really drain that metaphorical bucket. You want to contain your energy, seal up the leaks, and then work to conserve it and then regenerate it until the bucket is nearly full to the top again. This obviously it can take a long time to achieve, and you have to be very clear about how much you truly want to heal and how much you are willing to draw sturdy boundaries and learn the word no. Stop worrying about what other people think of you, period. That is the most pointless excursion down a dead-end road. And while you're at it, stop trying to please people who cannot please themselves. That is an act of willful self-destruction when you know how the story always ends and you continue to think you can alter the outcome this time. You were not born to make someone else happy. If they're not happy, tell them to look in the mirror to locate the number one reason for their unhappiness. Stop reacting to every little thing that you encounter or hear. Every time you overreact to something that really doesn't matter in the long run, you jack up your stress hormone cortisol. You also increase your blood pressure and pulse. Even your optic nerve gets involved when you overreact to something. Your reaction is not required any longer to the degree you've been using it and reacting it to anything in the past. Train yourself to be more of a witness than a participant in everything. Choose your reactive battles wisely. Ask yourself each time, is this reaction worth losing energy in my bucket? The biggest reactive battleground is social media. I totally got off social media about 3 months into my journey and only remained online to participate in several online forums that dealt with various issues I was experiencing. And even then, those forums descended into the usual ass-kissing and ass-kicking posts that forced me to finally give up those as well. I finally got tired of all the reacting that was exhausting to read. Get good, deep, solid sleep. If your adrenals are shot like mine were, you may have to sleep 12 hours a night for a month or longer before you feel like you can engage in life again. Nourishing sleep will regenerate your entire body and mind and work to mend the holes in your bucket. Before you commit to anything beyond what is absolutely required of you to heal, ask yourself how much energy is this going to take out of you? And how long will you be expected to expend that energy? If it's an invite to a backyard barbecue where you can sit in a comfortable chair and enjoy the company and the connection with people, that's one thing. If it's a volunteer project where you are required to stand on your feet for many hours and might be required to lift or move equipment, you might want to renegotiate what will be required of you or beg off completely. Essentially, you are exchanging your precious energy for an experience. If the experience is something that you feel is worthwhile and resonates with you, it could possibly feed you much-needed mana that can help restore you on some level. Take each opportunity or request by itself and gauge it by whether it's a bucket-filling proposition or a bucket-draining activity. Spend at least 45 minutes a day in reflection. This is not the same as rumination. This is not hyper-focusing on a subject that is stressing you out. This is the vibe of calm, somewhat detached, observational thought that can allow you to basically understand a situation or a person from a wider lens. Reflection helps contain your energy. Stop arguing about things that are not life-changing. Stop letting your ego drive your need to exhaust yourself with petty arguments that lead nowhere except to exhaust your meager reserves. If it's not going to be remembered tomorrow or even later today, you don't have to get juiced up about it and then experience the physical letdown from the argument. Stop explaining yourself. Oh, this one is so very important. Unless you have killed someone or caused injury to someone or something else, stop explaining yourself. This is one of the most draining behaviors that you have to break. This is a bad habit that was formed from your childhood when you were required by someone in authority over you to constantly defend what you were doing. A quick answer was never enough back then, and it's never enough now. Most people who are not related to you are not going to expect you to explain yourself to them, and they're going to be aware of how awkward your constant explanations always seem to be. And anyone within your family who continues to expect this explaining behavior from you will need to be trained to accept simple replies that promptly end instead of being extended out for 5 minutes. If your family inquisitor is not satisfied with your to-the-point response and accuses you of being evasive, simply reply that you are not being evasive and put a period at the end of that sentence. This one will take time to perfect, but once you do, you will be shocked how much more energy you have to work with. The next one kind of goes in line with the same theme, and that is you have to stop repeating yourself. Stop repeating yourself. Stop repeating yourself. See, it doesn't matter what cadence I use. It's the same repetition. If they didn't hear you the 100th time, chances are they're not listening. And if they can, they won't retain or remember it. Stop repeating yourself. The last on my list is stop wasting energy for an apology. Take it from someone who did this. It's just absolutely futile. If you're dealing with a narcissist, you're never going to get an apology. Waiting for an apology from a narcissist is like waiting for a fishing boat to float up on the Sahara Desert. You might hear a narcissist version of an apology, which is, "I'm sorry you feel that way." That's the most popular gaslighting faux apology. Others include, I'm sorry you're so sensitive. I'm sorry you misinterpreted what I said. And the ever-popular, I'm sorry you believe I did something wrong. I truly understand the resentment that builds from being owed an apology that never arrives or, if spoken, is lackluster. But focusing on it and how it's not happening is really a draining activity. Number three on the list, expect more from yourself. You really want to heal? Expect more from your incomplete self because you are incomplete. In order to become more complete and contained, you have to expect more from yourself. You have to work just a little bit harder and not allow yourself to devolve into the attitudes, beliefs, and habits that led you to your health crisis. At a certain point in your healing journey, you have to lift your ass out of the comfortable chair or the ever so lovely bed and demand more of yourself each and every day. Is this a difficult thing to do? Hell yes. Some days you'll feel like you're dragging your feet across broken glass, but you have to push yourself just a little bit more each day or two to check your limits or limitations and then adjust accordingly. Make an agreement with yourself that if you want change, you're going to need to move out of your comfort zone. Don't take everything so seriously. Laugh at yourself more. Laugh at life more. Even the worst moments in your rude awakening can have a comedic interlude. Heal your trauma, but don't allow it to become your life's journey. Discover what makes you happy and do it. Expect more from yourself. Respect yourself in all ways. As the saying goes, be careful what you tolerate because you're teaching others how to treat you. Hold yourself to higher standards without turning it into a virtue trap. Absolutely expect more from yourself. Life is hard enough. Don't complicate it with bad decisions that aren't well thought out. Expect more out of your decision-making capabilities. Make a list of all the things that could go right and all the things that could go wrong, and then make that decision based on what you believe you know and how making that choice could either complicate your life or enhance it. Make certain you see the happiness in simple things, the sunrise, the sunset, the smell of rain, a cool breeze, a beautiful rainbow that suddenly appears. Embrace and enjoy every good and wonderful thing that happens to you. Drink it in. Those moments may not be easy to come by, and it's important to be present for them when they do happen. Expect more from yourself so you can be present for them. Be comfortable being alone. Be comfortable in a crowd. Be comfortable with a group. Expect more from yourself as you overcome your social anxieties. Own your mistakes, but don't dwell on them. Understand that failure is part of the game. Perfection is a fantasy. Know that the person you think has it all does not. Understand that the person you think has their shit together certainly does not. The only person you are competing with is yourself. So expect more from yourself. It's never the end of the world. Isolation is okay for a while, but then it tends to produce an unreliable, self-focused paranoia that scares good people away from you and that doesn't bode well for your ability to honestly assess yourself and where you're getting in your own way. You absolutely have to get over yourself. Question your beliefs. You don't have all the answers. You're often asking the wrong questions. You always, always have a choice. You can choose to be happy, content, and brave. You can also choose to be unhappy, anxious, self-absorbed, angry, and terrified. Choose wisely. You're only as strong as your greatest fear. Expect more from yourself. Sometimes you will never get closure, and you have to figure out how to accept that. And it helps if you expect more from yourself. You don't have to love anyone, but it helps to learn how to open your heart in whatever way you can, any way you can do that. It's not easy at all, but you have to expect more from yourself to achieve it at times. Sometimes the focus has to be on someone else, and you have to allow that. Sometimes the focus is on you, and you should allow that too. I don't care if you have a stutter, you still have to take a risk and talk. Expect more from yourself. Honest to God, most of the people out there are not as confident as they appear to be. Most of them are just really good at projecting their facade onto the world. Yes, you really can heal or come close enough to healing your trauma and still have time to live an enjoyable life, but you'll have to expect more from yourself. And while you're doing that, above all, be kind to others and to yourself. The fourth and final behavior you have to conquer if you want to heal is you have to stop the drama, Mama. As someone who grew up in the bosom of Los Angeles and worked in the entertainment industry during the 80s and the early 90s, I was saturated in constant drama, and I learned firsthand how to tell a story and inject a lot of drama and hand movements into that story to punctuate the narrative. But when you steer this type of performance into every single crevice of your life, and we all have to hear about the spider in the kitchen that was as big as a Buick and possibly poisonous, but you can't verify it, it becomes tedious and attention-seeking. I've listened to too many overdramatic stories that never seem to end, and the payoff was never worth the lead-up. You know, brevity is the secret to wit. Brevity is also the secret to telling stories, and telling them like they actually happened, without false editorials injected into the story that serve no purpose except to drain you and distract others. Stop turning a story into a caricature of itself because you have a burning need to reorganize the truth. Ask yourself, who are you trying to impress by these overly animated stories? Are you aware that some people are tired of it? Are you aware that some people see right through it and that you are making yourself look like a fool or an attention seeker? You have to stop dramatizing everything in your life, or you will not be able to heal. Drama is an extreme behavior, and extremes on either end of the spectrum never lead to healing. They lead to mania, disappointment, a toxic lack of perspective, the desire to give up, depression, so much more. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being off-the-chart drama, if you react to every situation in your life as a 10, then nothing is a 10. If everything is critical, then nothing is critical. If everything is vitally important, then nothing is vitally important. If everything matters, nothing matters. If everything is a crisis, then nothing is a crisis. If you see every word, event, and experience as a shock, then no words, events, or experiences qualify any longer as a true shock. If everything is steeped in drama and this cataclysmic energy is always around the next corner or right at your doorstep, you've got to take a big step back. People who engage in this drama mama mentality tend to attract other drama mamas and drama daddies. It's not just women, believe me. And when this happens, you end up swimming in a dangerous soup where one person's drama is one-upped by another person's drama until clarity, calm, and perspective cease to exist. Stop playing into this destructive practice that takes you nowhere. I really understand this one very well, because I lived around people who had dramatic meltdowns, and I absorbed and repeated a lot of that same behavior as I got older. It is absolutely exhausting, and it contributes to everything from digestive complaints to blood pressure problems to sudden dizziness and rapid breathing. People who are sick and have chronic issues fall into this trap because every test is potential bad news. Every treatment can produce a problem. The need to inculcate your life with drama is expressly connected to either massive trauma you have not dealt with or a pattern in which drama was often rewarded in your family. If telling dramatic stories, for example, garnered attention and praise, then you figured out how to manufacture the same delivery so you could be the beneficiary of that attention. As to unfelt or unhealed trauma and its connection to drama mamas, there is often the chaotic backdrop of family life where everything is always very serious, very precarious, and very critical. Thus, you are conditioned by your childhood environment to make sure every story is heard through the broken speakers of your unhealed trauma. People who are slaves to dramatizing their life are incapable of hearing information clearly or accurately. They hear a result, a diagnosis, an update, etc., but their mind is so jacked up with apprehension and the need to believe the sky is falling that they don't really hear what's being said to them, or they insinuate what is being said to them is not true. For example, someone could say to them, "Your test results are really improving," and they might shoot back with, "What do you mean by that? I sense you're leaving something out." Drama mamas will always tell you that their doctor told them that whatever they have is the worst, and that they may only have weeks to live, and you'll believe it, and then months later, they're still alive. It's not until you actually sit in with them at the doctor's office that you clearly observe how the doctor says one thing and they hear something totally different. I've been in this position many times, and after being privy to the conversation, when you point out to the drama mama or drama daddy that what they heard was not factual or remotely the truth, they will argue and make excuses or even tell you that you heard it wrong. These are people who have a visceral need to maintain an unhealthy manic attachment to overblown theater. And I will tell you with 100% certainty that these people are looked upon as unstable and often requiring special handling for delivering basic news to them. And that's not the road to self-improvement or self-empowerment. You lose valuable perspective when you pull the drama mama card. Drama removes perspective, and if you need to make an important decision about your health or well-being, and you make that decision when you're jacked up on the juice of over-dramatizing, you are going to seriously regret that decision. You will never be able to hear the voice inside you if you keep this pattern up. Whether you call that inner voice, you know, your inner voice or the Holy Spirit, or however you interpret that voice, you cannot hear it when you are throwing yourself into these ridiculous tornadoes of turmoil. You cannot become your greatest advocate if you insist upon repeating your stories with an Oscar-worthy performance. It's not easy to break this bad habit, but it can be done. You have to be willing to hear yourself when you begin to inject drama into something that doesn't require any of it and dial back your reaction. Make a conscious choice that when you experience something that stirs you up, to take a step back and really look at it and see if it's worth committing yourself to another draining theater performance. Because you can't maintain these dramatic meltdowns and expect your body to ever establish balance. That's why it's vital you consciously stop entrapping yourself in drama, especially other people's drama. You do not have time or energy to engage in these types of histrionic relationships. You are going to have to say goodbye to these types of relationships that constantly infuse this overwrought, overly emotional energy into every situation. And I know how hard that is, but you have to do it. You can't heal them and whatever is causing their need to be dramatic. That's not your job. Your job is to heal. Your job is to establish healthy patterns that create opportunities for you to continue to heal. The moment you say, "I've had enough," is day one of when you begin to take back your sovereign power and start to calm your overreactive nervous system. Because when you recognize the true destructive nature of being around too much drama, you are more willing to release it within yourself and build healthy boundaries between you and others who insist on injecting that poison into your life. Take it from me. It's incredible how things shift from that point forward. When you are comfortable and concede that life doesn't need to be over-colorized, overstated, over-exaggerated, or overblown for it to be heard, experienced, or appreciated, you can chuckle at the way you used to tell a story and the way you tell it now. I know I do. The sweet silence and the satisfying calm that is replaced in your life when you are free of this mania is priceless, and it is a decision you will never regret making. That's all for this week. Thank you for choosing to listen to this show. If you like what you hear, share this podcast with others and follow me. Check out the notes for this episode, where you'll see the links to find me on Instagram and X at Laurel Dewey or The Alchemy of Natural Healing. Looking forward to you joining me here next week when the topic is how to slow your roll. New episodes drop every Saturday. Until then, remember that awareness is a demanding mistress. Once she wakes you up, she won't let you go back to sleep.